All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, post-draft edition of the show brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, and it's really post-first round edition. We are still in the midst of the draft as I record here on this Friday morning. And, you know, normally we try and do the show on Thursdays. I did an online Twitter poll yesterday because I was thinking, you know, I could do this show now, thinking of yesterday, Thursday. And if I do the show now, it'll be good for a couple hours, draft preview, blah, blah, blah. Or I could wait and we could react to what happened. And the overwhelming majority of the people who voted preferred to have a Friday show. I'm right there with them because, honestly, I was a little draft previewed out and didn't feel like doing another show talking about what might happen. And instead, it's a pleasure to do a show to talk about what did happen. So we'll talk about that. For once, it was something that seemed pretty much on script, at least as far as the Bucks went. And we got a lot to get to because rounds 2 and 3 are tonight. And of course, the Bucks have multiple needs. They filled one with their pick of Devin White, but they are actually in pretty good position to fill other ones with the way the draft unfolded and who is available at other positions. So we'll get to all that today. Take your emails if you want to. Send me one. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. Or you can get me on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. The Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's first family of Ford is Bill Curry. And they are proud to announce the nationwide lifetime warranty. That's on everything, new and pre-owned vehicles. Unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10-year roadside assistance, and 1-year complimentary service. You can see all the details at the website if you go to BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. And check out Sean Sullivan, fellow Jesuit Tiger like me, the new GM at Bill Curry Ford. You'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount if you mention the website, Joe Bucks Fan. You mention me, you mention the Free Stretch, whatever it is, and that'll be on top of the already transparent online pricing. You can see everything they have at the website or go there in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. They're on the east side of the road just north of Hillsboro. They've been there for 58 years. And speaking of fellow Jesuit high people, heard that a few friends were at the draft party last night. Heard old Lenny Williams was there and was looking for me. I wish I could have been there, but I'll tell you what, it was a great party from what I heard. Tremendous turnout at Buffalo Wild Wings for everybody to see the Bucks draft Devin White and enjoy the whole first round. Had almost 500 people out there. And guess what, folks? They're doing it again tonight. You thought, oh, it's just the first round. We're just going to have a party for the first round. No. Same thing tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings, Southdale Mabry. If you want to head over there and check it out, the buffet, the drinks all over inside and outside, the big TVs, it's all going on. It'll be kind of actually a more casual, laid back. Don't think we're going to have the music as loud as last night, you know, that type of thing. Kind of a second and third round vibe, but make no mistake, what's going to happen tonight when the Bucks make their picks, and they pick twice as of now, the 7th pick in the 2nd round, which is 39th overall, and the 6th pick in the 3rd round, which is 70th overall, is what's on the schedule as for now. And those could be as important or more important as Devin White's pick was. But let's talk about that for a second because, you know, there's this whole lead up to the draft that has gotten to be like a cottage industry in a second season all on its own. And every year there's all these smoke screens and all these signals and trying to decode things and who interviewed who at the Senior Bowl or at the Combine or this and that. And it's just impossible to really know for sure how it's all going to go and what actually means something and what's just a decoy. You know, who knows? So a year like this comes along and the Bucks actually end up taking the guy that all along everybody connected them with because it made sense. And it was, one, a really good player, but two, a really good player in a position of need for the Bucks at just the right spot in the draft. And, you know, we all heard about all these names. I mean, I did shows on it leading up to the draft about how there had been, I think it was 12 different names just for the first round pick, not even talking about later rounds. But how all these different names at one point or another people in their mock drafts had put in that number 5 slot for the Bucks, and yet none of them really seemed to be, I don't want to say educated guesses because they're educated guesses, but none of them seemed to be as educated a guess as the ones that kept having Devin White's name on there. And for once, the person that everybody said a team was going to draft and everybody thought a team was going to draft. That's who the Bucks drafted at number five, Devin White. And it makes a lot of sense on many levels. If you look at the way the thing unfolded in the first four picks before the Bucks, of course, Kyler Murray going number one was what was expected. So was Bosa to the 49ers. Then Quinnen Williams at three to the Jets. And he's a stud. If he had been there, he might have been the only player, I think, at five that if he had been there that could have taken them off Devin White. But it sounds like all along, for all the discussions we all had on our shows, all the different shows everybody had, oh, is it going to be this or that? It sounds like all along the Bucks were pretty sure it was going to be Devin White, barring something crazy happening, and nothing did. Of course, the Raiders go off script a little bit in front of the Bucks and take Cleveland Farrell, and that's something that, you know, all it did was guarantee that the Bucks had their choice of Devin White, of Josh Allen, of Ed Oliver. All three of those guys were there, and it didn't matter. It sounds, again, in retrospect, like, again, maybe, I don't know this, but maybe Quinnen Williams would have been enough to make a difference, but everybody else that was on the board, not enough. It was going to be Devin White all along. So I'm wondering how you guys feel today, because I'm getting a lot of this from both Twitter, from the actual print media, and radio and TV and all that. Bucks played it safe. Bucks laid up. You know, Bucks took out a 3-wood off the tee, just got it in the fairway, didn't want to mess around. So, I don't know what safe really means. I mean, when you're in a situation like the NFL draft, where you have, and let's be honest, okay, for all we think we know, you have almost no idea how all these guys are going to turn out. So we make these statements pre and post draft. Oh, they played it safe. Meaning what? We know the guy is going to be pretty good, but not great. We don't know that at all. Although if that's what it is, that's fine. Cause you're just, you're hoping to get a good player, but oh, we played it safe. We took a guy who's going to be good, but maybe not great. You don't, he could end up being the next Ray Lewis or the next even Patrick Willis or Derek Brewer, you know what? He could be in the Hall of Fame. Any of them could. Or he could not. There's no safe. Like, safe assumes you know things that you don't know. And, you know, if you... Actually, they did. I think Greg Allman, who's the Bucks beat writer for The Athletic, did like a pre-Twitter poll. Everybody did pre-Twitter polls. Or pre-draft Twitter polls is what I mean to say. And who do you want? You know, Josh Allen, Devin White, so on and so forth. I think Josh Allen, if you ask the fans before the draft, outpaced Devin White by about a 2-1 margin as far as fan preferences on who the team would take leading into the draft. Now, I get it. You know, you see a team that has needs all over the place, but you see a team and you see a league where pass rush, you always hear pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, but it gets hammered into you. Need that big, giant, playmaking defensive end, need that edge rusher that's going to strike fear into opposing quarterbacks, on and on and on. And Josh Allen would have been a fine pick. He may end up, I mean, he went to Jacksonville at number seven. And again, we don't know, but just don't pretend you know things. There's no such thing as the safe pick. I mean, if you look at the top 10 guys or top 20 or the whole first round, and you can do this for any year besides this year if you want to go back on Wikipedia and check out past drafts, you'll see players at every single spot, whether it's first overall or 32nd. And I'm just talking about the first round right now, who ended up being Pro Bowlers, guys in front of them didn't, who ended up being not just Pro Bowlers, but guys who are going to be like in their team's Ring of Honor, maybe a handful that are going to the Hall of Fame. You'll see those all over the place. You don't know which ones are which. If you did, the draft would be easy. But to say that our guy isn't that guy, but he's probably pretty good, again, just assumes you know things. He might not be even pretty good. He might be terrible. Or he might go to the Hall of Fame. But what he is, here's what he is, okay? Again, he's a player at a position where the Bucks have basically nobody besides Lavonte David at this point. And they have needs all over, but they really need a linebacker. And I'm not saying you should draft for need when there's somebody you think is better out there, but he's also a guy who they didn't think anybody out there was better. And he's a guy with credentials, okay? And again, these don't mean going forward it's going to be like this, but this is a guy. First of all, I ran, this is just the physical numbers, okay? 4.42 second 40-yard dash. Now, if you take other LSU 40-yard dash runners over the years, including Odell Beckham Jr., who's a wide receiver. He ran a 4.43. They ran the same time in the 40. That's a wideout, one of the most explosive guys out there. Okay, Darius Geis, 4.49. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, 4.50. Leonard Fournette, 4.51. Again, Devin White, 4.42. All right, again, that's just physical. 22 bench press reps, 39.5-inch vertical leap, all that good stuff. 123 tackles in 13 games as a junior last season. 12 of those were for loss. He forced 3 fumbles. Won the 2018 Buckus Award as the nation's top college linebacker. First-team All-American, second-team All-American the year before that in 2017. He was All-SEC first-team both years. And a 2-time defensive captain at LSU as a sophomore and as a junior, and got playing time as a true freshman as well. This is a running back from high school, by the way, like over 5,000 yards rushing at his high school in Spring Hill, Louisiana. And that's, you know, a nod to his athleticism, which he has then used as a middle linebacker. Here's also what he is, okay? His biggest strengths, if you go through, you know, his film, his testing, all the things they do, and you know, we've heard about the tackling and that his target rate's a little bit lower as far as, you know, how many tackles he misses and doesn't miss. But his biggest strengths as a linebacker: pass rush, pressure up the middle, and in coverage. And these are things with Todd Bowles' defense, and this is why they called it a perfect union, and everybody all and on and on. Okay, for what Todd Bowles wants to do, for what the Bucs need, a quarterback of the defense, a guy in the middle, he meets all those, he to a T. Like, if you were trying to just create out of thin air a linebacker to fit what the Bucs need, it probably would have been Devin White. All right? So, these are all things that, I mean, I guess if you want to call him safe, that's one word for it. But, and I think Rick Stroud said, you know, it's not always a good thing, but it can be a good thing when you draft the guy that literally every single person around the league probably thinks you're going to draft. And you do that. Maybe that predictability is a good thing, and maybe it just makes sense. And so when I was going into this draft last night just as a fan, and you can't always just do this because you want to. Somebody has to want to do it with you. Knowing all that we needed and knowing that, you know, we might have been able to get him anyway, I would have loved to see the Bucs drop down like 5 spots or so or something like that. You know, there was speculation that the Redskins might want to move up to get Dwayne Haskins, who they ended up getting anyway without having to move up. But if the Bucs could have dropped down to 9 or 10, picked up maybe an extra third rounder or second rounder or something like that, I would have been over the moon. Now, maybe they had a chance to do that and they just didn't want to, or maybe they never had anybody that, you know, it takes two people to do one of these trades. But I'll say this, if you really, really like a guy as much as the Bucs really, really like Devin White and you have a chance to pick him, yeah, just pick him. I mean, it's fine. You don't have to get cute and try and see if you can finagle your way down and maybe he'll still be there. Of course, Devin Bush from Michigan, another one that maybe could have fit that mold if Devin White wasn't around. I don't know, you know? The point is, though, they got a guy they need. He's a really good player. It's the first linebacker the Bucs have taken in the first round since 1995. That was someone named Derek Brooks, who apparently is still a citizen, still lives in the community as far as I know, and did a few things while he was there with the Buccaneers. And so, again, it's not a position. And I even argued this about 2 months ago or whatever it was on my show. I said, my only thing is, you know, is it a premium position to go that high in the draft? And I was wrong, I think. And I'm not just saying this because we drafted him. Now I'm backtracking. But even before yesterday, I thought, you know, one, things are changing in the NFL as far as the way positions are looked at. And as far as what the Bucs need from that specific spot at linebacker, not just any random linebacker, but they, you know, they off-the-ball linebacker is the catchphrase. Now, you didn't used to hear that, but off-the-ball linebacker. Not only that, but defensive ends and rushers, and there was stuff written about this and how the league's changing and how quarterbacks are neutralizing the threats of the pass rushes by getting the ball out quicker and how offenses are designed to counterbalance that, and it's still obviously an incredibly important position, but not quite like it was before. And so, again, you shouldn't overthink these things. If you have a guy that you like, if you have a guy that you think is going to be a contributor for you for 10 years, don't, oh, I don't know about this position, though. Just get him. Like, the Bucs just got the guy they liked, and they needed him. And again, linebacker, they have a lot of needs, but linebacker was definitely a need. And so, You know, this time there weren't any smoke screens or anything like that. It's just makes sense on both sides. Devin White seems to be a very well-spoken, intelligent, charismatic guy. Those are not things that'll help you make tackles, but those are things you like to see in a draft pick. He seems really excited to come here, which is also a plus. And, you know, as far as all the things he'll bring, not just X's and O's and blocking and tackling and all that stuff, but as far as being a leader and the types of things that they hope he can develop into, he seems to have those intangible qualities. So here we go. He could work well with Vita Vea. You know, it's almost like the two picks last year and this year kind of work in conjunction with each other, because Vea can occupy bodies up front in the middle, and then right behind him there's going to be Devin White, and that might help him make his bones, you know, while he's trying to rush the passer and do all the different things that Todd Bowles is going to want to do in his defense. So, you know, again, does he have to even be the next Ray Lewis to be a successful pick? No. I remember the 2007 draft very well, and it seems like not every year, but there's some years where I just fall in love with one guy and I'm obsessed with my team taking him, and very rarely does that actually end up happening. And I've been right and I've been wrong, okay, as far as who they do take. But I remember 2007, I was just, and maybe this is because I'm a Gator and I was used to watching him in the SEC, but Patrick Willis, I was like, God, I want the Bucs to get Patrick Willis. Like, please get this guy. They were picking, I think it was fourth or fifth that year. I think it was fourth. And I was like, Patrick Willis, Patrick Willis, Patrick Willis. They didn't take him. They took Gaines Adams instead. May he rest in peace. But Patrick Willis ended up being a phenomenal linebacker for many years for the 49ers, would have been a great pick for the Bucs. And, you know, if Devin White is that guy now, hey, dynamite. You know, you don't know what you're getting. Nobody does beforehand. That's why the whole idea that they made the safe pick, even saying something is safe just kind of assumes an ability to see in the future that I think none of us have. If you want to email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's bobbygameday@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can find me at Bobby Game Day. So Devin White is the pick. He is coming to Tampa. Cool move, by the way, by Bruce Arians. You know, last night to announce the pick they had, his name was Casey Reynolds. He is fighting cancer, and through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he was allowed to make the pick live at the draft for his favorite team, and he did a great job. Bruce Arians, after that happened, said, you know what, man, go ahead and get on the plane with Devin White and just come down here with him, and we'll have show you around one buck and all that, which is really cool. So good job by Bruce Arians, and that was a nice move. As far as Josh Allen, like I said, he goes to the Jags, and so now, just like we do, I guess, with Vita Vea and Derwin James, and it's only been a year, but we're going to keep doing that. We'll probably start doing that now with Devin White and Josh Allen, and watching both of them very intently, comparing the two of them every game, every week, after every season. And that's fine. That's part of the draft. If Devin White ends up being really good, but Josh Allen is even better, like really, really good, I'm not going to complain. Again, you can only draft one guy with your first round pick. You can't draft three or four guys. And if the one you get is good, you've done your job. And again, I would have loved to have seen Josh Allen. It would have been fine if they had announced his name. I would not have complained at all. But it looks like that was never, I mean, that doesn't seem like it was even on the Bucs. I don't want to say not on their radar. I'm sure they looked at everything, but that wasn't what they were going to do. And so, looking ahead to tonight, oh, and let me mention this as far as the draft, by the way. I say, I'm a Tampa guy, and Tampa is one of those mid-sized southern cities, so it gets compared a lot to places like Charlotte, places where Orlando's on the road, but gets compared to Orlando. Nashville is definitely one of them. And so you'll hear about those types of cities compared to each other, you know, just in economic studies or this and whatever it is. I was really impressed with Nashville last night when they showed that overhead, like camera view looking down the street. And it went back for blocks and blocks and blocks of people out there for the NFL draft. Hats off to them. That was really cool. And I think Tampa could be a good host for something like the draft. I'm not sure we could get that many people to come out for the draft, though. I mean, that was unbelievable. And I'm not sure any other city could have done. I mean, Nashville did a great job with that. My hat is off to them. And the power of the NFL draft continues to amaze. I mean, this is literally an event where we set up a podium, and the commissioner comes up and just reads off names of people in the order that teams select them. And there were, you know, again, thousands of people in the street out there. The Joe Bucks fan draft party last night, same thing. We have almost 500 people come out. This is for the draft. My house, and the reason I didn't go to the draft party last night is because I have an annual tradition going back years, and we all do different things. Like my buddy Andrew, he hosts the Super Bowl at his house. We always go to his house for the Super Bowl. I have another buddy's house. We go to his house for the Masters. It didn't just work out this way, but I'm draft night guy. Every draft, every year, everybody comes to my house. So I had like 12 people over here. My kids, who were supposed to be in bed by 7:30, of course, they were up till like 11 just watching it with everybody else. It's just the draft gets people going. People like to have an excuse to have fun. What the NFL has done with putting it on a Thursday night in primetime is brilliant. And man, I'm just impressed overall. Like, I have talked to you guys on this show before about how I get so overloaded with the mock drafts and the pre-draft stuff and just get it over with already. Can we have the draft? But I'll tell you what, they know what they're doing. There's a reason they've crafted this into a second season and made this into what it is. And that's because people eat it up with a spoon. And that you can say, oh, argue with me if you want, but you could look at that TV last night and see all those people out there. And the same thing with the draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings, where they're having another one tonight for Joe Bucks fan, if you want to go check it out. Or my house, or any number of you guys who might have had people over on Twitter. It was all anybody was talking about around the country. I mean, it's just crazy. And so now here we are in the middle of it, getting back at it tonight. Rounds 2 and 3 begin at 7 p.m. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock, and they'll pick first in the second round. The Bucks have the 7th pick of the second round, and that's the way the tiebreakers work. When teams have the same record and they go to tiebreakers, like the Bucks actually did well with the tiebreakers this year, so they had the same record as teams picking 6th and 7th, but they got to pick 5th because of all the different tiebreakers they use to decide, you know, how different 5 and 11 teams all pick. So what they do is they flip them for each round. So the Bucks pick 5th in the first round, now they pick 7th in the second round. Then the third round, they pick 6th, and it rotates like that through the rounds. The Bucks, as of now, again, have one remaining pick in each of the remaining 5 rounds. So what can they do tonight? You know, again, I just said, we can't get everything we need with one pick, and the Bucks need a lot. That's why I'm always a fan of trading down if you can. But even if you can't, the Bucks are in a really good position right now, because what do they need? In my opinion, at least, and I don't think it's even opinion, they're really thin at corner, okay? They've got Carlton Davis as one starting corner, with Vernon Hargraves being extended the other day, which we haven't talked about yet, but the Bucks signed him to a contract extension. That tells me they're looking at him as more than just a nickelback, and they might be thinking of him as the other starter on the outside. Bruce Arians has said as much, that he'd like to have Hargraves do that and just go find a nickelback instead of the other way around. But even so, even if those two guys are set in stone, Carlton Davis and Vernon Hargraves, one, Davis was okay at certain points last year, but he certainly had rookie growing pains, and Hargraves has had his issues. We're hoping he'll be better because he gets to play more press man coverage now instead of being, you know, rolled way back. But either way, those two guys have question marks, and there's only two of them. If one of them gets hurt, we're turning back to no names to play one of the most important positions. So I think they need a corner. I mean, they need a corner. I don't think that. They need a corner. Bad. That's one of them. Okay? They still need to go get that edge guy, though, right? That they didn't get when they passed on Josh Allen. So now that's still a need. They need offensive line. My God, the offensive line. We talked about how much help they need. All they've done for the offensive line is re-sign two of the same guys for more money. So they haven't actually upgraded. They've just spent more. They got to do something with the right side of the offensive line. Caleb Benenock's not going to be the right guard anymore. And DeMar Dotson's not getting any younger, although he did re-sign for a one-year deal at right tackle. They need that too. So what do they do when you look at everything as a whole? Well, again, the Bucks are in a good spot. Corners, nobody wanted any of them in the first round, so a lot of those guys are all still there. Greedy Williams, who actually was one of the names that was, you know, forecast to the Bucks for their first round pick, is still there. Byron Murphy from Washington, considered the best cornerback overall, is there right now, best one available. And you've also got Rock Ya-Sin from Temple, who has been rising up draft boards during the whole process. And even if you like, I mean, there's a few other ones, but my point is that's three right there. And the Bucks are picking 7th. Now, Will they go corner right out of the gate here in the second round when, again, we just talked about how with Hargraves re-signing, maybe it feels like they're in the market more for a nickelback than a starter? I'd be surprised if they went with any of those three guys for their seventh pick. Safeties, though, they need those. Again, they got Justin Evans and they got MJ Stewart, who's a converted corner. They're trying. I mean, they don't have. The secondary is the most glaring need. We talked about this. The secondary, and how, remember that show? Was it last week's show I did that on, or a couple weeks ago? Where Thomas Bassinger for the Times had written that article, how the Patriots put more into their secondary than any other team in the league, or one of the top two teams in the league, and they put less into their defensive line than any other team. And we've all got it backwards because they're shoring up the secondary and letting the defensive line fill in later. And we're all trying to do defensive line stuff and ignoring the secondary. Meanwhile, the Bucs are getting roasted right and left and lit up like a pinball machine every week to the tune of one of the worst defenses ever last year. So why aren't we getting corners or safeties? Nasir Adderley from Delaware is one that people had targeted for the Bucs possibly in the second round. Of course, he is still there. So is Taylor Rapp from Washington. So is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from UF. And some of these guys that you like at 39 might also be there at 72. Defensive end, Chase Winovich from Michigan. He could be had. He's the highest rated one left. But Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech is another one. And again, he might not even be a second rounder. Could be a third rounder. Ja'Kai Polite has fallen. People had him in the top 20, and now he hasn't even been picked yet. So not just the Bucs, but a lot of teams probably feel right now like they can get a first-round quality guy with their second-round pick. And if I was the, if it was me, and I was like, and I know everybody loves to do this, let's do it. If I was right now, okay, Jason Light, and I'm sitting there, I've got my seventh overall pick this round, 39th overall total, and I'm looking at all the things I need. I know I just re-signed Vernon Hargraves. I would either look to the offensive tackle position or just generally anybody that can help on the right side of the offensive line. There's goods there, too. There's Jawan Taylor, who's a guy that people thought he'd be in the first round. He's not been picked yet. Cody Ford from Oklahoma. Dalton Risner, Kansas State. Again, these are three teams ahead of the Bucs need, and I'm talking about just tonight in the second round, need guys like that. All three could get taken before the Bucs pick, but I have a feeling they won't. And so those are all guys. Eric McCoy from Texas A&M only surrendered one sack in his entire career. He's listed as a center, but he can play guard. So these are the directions I think the Bucs are going to go. But that corner, I mean, nobody's talking about corner. Like this whole lead up to the draft, nobody said anything about it. And even now, I mean, the Bucs need to have two guys, you know, one on each end, who are just rock solid reliable. And right now, they have two guys who maybe could be okay. But we you know, they're question marks to begin with, and there's only two of them. And they need a nickelback. So maybe they take a corner in the third round, or I got to believe one of these two picks tonight's a corner. Even more so than safety, I would place that if it was me. And if it's not the second round one, I understand that. But it needs, to me, to be the second or third round one. And then, yeah, the offensive line, which, again, was not great, especially toward the end of last year, and yet which has not changed at all. And then you can look at your rush guy. I mean, again, there's so many needs. This is why it'd be nice to have even another pick. But they have what they have, and that's what they're going to have to work with right now. That attitude, we have what we have, so let's work with it right now, is not something that extends to the Arizona Cardinals, though. And we got to talk about this because nobody's making a big deal, or at least not as big of a deal out of this as I think they should be. But a team took a quarterback in the draft last year, then got the number one overall pick in the draft the next year, and took another quarterback. Like the same GM, it's not the same head coach, but the same GM, Steve Keim for Arizona, hired a head coach and took a quarterback last year. Then after one season, they fired that head coach, Steve Wilks. Then, now they're drafting. They drafted Kyler Murray first overall, and they're just, you know what? We're just going to start. We're going to try again on all those. They just completely gave up a first-round pick from last year, Rosen, whom they might be able to get something for, but certainly they don't have a ton of leverage with that. Now they've already drafted Murray. And that's to me, it's a big story, not just Kyler Murray being drafted number one overall, which obviously was not something anybody thought maybe 6 months ago, but what he was able to do in his season at Oklahoma, combined with what he was able to get out of with his baseball contract and things like that. And these things change fast. So maybe, I guess, it's the fact that the Giants did what they did as far as taking a quarterback and going with Daniel Jones, and everybody's talking about that now because that was such a big surprise that people are kind of glossing over the whole Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, Cardinals thing. It's not really a topic, but I'll tell you, like, it's pretty amazing for a GM. And I almost have to give him credit for just owning what he sees, obviously, as his own mistake and saying, yeah, I hired a head coach, picked a quarterback, two most important things a GM could do. Okay, you know what? That was the wrong head coach. I'm going to fire him after 1 year. That was the wrong quarterback. I'm going to draft another quarterback just a year later. I mean, they might draft Tua again next year if they don't like what Kyler Murray does for him this year. I don't know. But that got things started last night. And then, of course, the whole Daniel Jones thing with the Giants, who needed a quarterback, passed on Dwayne Haskins, and yet didn't trade down because they could have taken Daniel Jones. They might still be able to take Daniel Jones in the second round if they had waited that long. But certainly, having lower picks in the first round, they could have done that. But they did not. Instead, they just went ahead and took the quarterback from Duke. So obviously, that'll be a running thing. Everybody's all upset on Twitter. All Giants fans are talking about how they're going to leave the fan base. And again, I'll just say this. There's picks that look really good that end up being bad. There's picks that look really good that end up being really good. There's picks that look really bad that end up being good. And there's picks that are bad that, yes, and eventually it do end up being bad. So there's all four possibilities. But don't ever think you know anything. And in fact, I used to do this on my old radio show. Don't even do draft grades and things like that. Take a draft from like 5 years ago and do grades for that one if you want. Like we used to do on my show the week after the draft or the day after the draft, if it was like, let's say it was 2010, I'd go pull up the 2006 draft and I'd grade that instead of going, it's pointless right now. And you'll see people, there's already the A+, B+. If you're wondering, ESPN gave the Bucks a B+, I think it was plus, for their pick of Devin White, which again is just, who the hell knows? There's no way to know. But I thought the whole Rosen thing and that dynamic was, and is, pretty incredible. And it isn't getting a lot of hype. And as far as the rest of the first round last night, you know, there wasn't a bunch of crazy intrigue. There was the one kind of off-the-grid pick with the Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell. But other than that, not many big surprises. Certainly not a big surprise for our Bucks. Devin White is going to be the next Tampa Bay Buccaneer, along with a handful of other names who we will be finding out over the weekend. And again, I think it's a good pick. I think even if he doesn't turn out the way we hope, it'll be hard to look back, you know, in hindsight and really rip the pick because, again, you got to remember what the lay of the land was like when you made the pick and sitting here right now. You could say you wanted Josh Allen more, and that's a perfectly valid opinion, and time will tell. I mean, there's no way to know on that, but you can't say this is a reach or anything like that because it is not in any way. And now we turn our attention to tonight. Will the Bucs go corner? Will they go defensive end? Will they go offensive tackle? Will they go safety? Keeping in mind, if they take a safety, at least with their second round pick, or in either of the two picks, really, but if they take a safety at that point, they will be, that'll be 3 second round safeties and a fourth rounder in the past 3 seasons. In that position. So they've invested a lot there already, and they don't have a ton to show for it as of right now. And you got to take what you got to take right now. You can't worry about things that have happened in the past. But to me, if it was me, I love one of those. I mean, one of those three guys, Byron Murphy, Greedy Williams, Rocky Sin. Okay. And I don't know which one. It might be all three. It might be one of the three. But one of those three guys is going to be a good starter in the NFL for a while, and maybe more than one of them. So I would try to identify who I think that is and get him. That'll serve your franchise well for much longer, I think, than anything else that you could do right now. But again, I'm not going to be mad if they go offensive tackle. If they get, I don't know who will be there, but Chase Winovich, Jalen Ferguson, these are all guys for both the second and third rounds whose names you might hear called. Lot to get to. Running back, people have been asking about running back. I wouldn't count on that tonight. That's a weekend thing, in my opinion, and I'm sure they'd love to get a pass-catching guy, somebody like that, in rounds 4 through 7. At that point, I could see it, but that ain't anything going on right now as far as I could see. So whatever happens, enjoy the rest of the draft. I know the first round's the fun part. It's the intrigue and everything. the nuts and bolts stuff isn't always as fun. But how many other teams have a round two and three draft party going on the way Joe Bucks Fan does? Again, same location as last night. If you want to get over there tonight, Buffalo Wild Wings, Southdale Mabry, there'll be the buffet. There'll be the drink specials, both indoors and outdoors, the big screen TV set up. It'll be a ton of fun. And again, a more laid back, less intense atmosphere. So if you want to do that and, you know, just kind of bring the family even, it'd be a great time to do that. It'll be Friday night, of course, so it's not a school night. So do all that, have fun, and I want to thank the Joes for both putting that together and giving me the chance, as always, to be on this platform in front of all of you and the ability to put this podcast in front of all you guys. So thanks to them. Thanks to you guys for listening. Again, you can email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can catch me at BobbyGameDay. Bill Curry Ford, again, thanks to those guys for all the fun they had. They were over there last night, chipping in a little bit at the party, having some fun. You can go to BillCurryFord.com and see all the details of the nationwide lifetime warranty, unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10-year roadside assistance, all the new and pre-owned inventory they have on the lot. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, to check all that out. Have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy the later rounds of the draft. Enjoy the NHL playoffs. Enjoy it all. Be safe. And have fun this weekend. Devin White is the newest Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and we've got plenty of time to welcome him to town, to parse over this pick, to see how it complements the other picks they do in the next few rounds. We've got many, many, many weeks and months and years, of course, to look back, and I'm sure it'll happen, comparing him to Josh Allen or any number of other people that got drafted around him in the first round. But none of that matters right now. We got our guy. We're going to get some more guys tonight and this weekend. Let's enjoy it. Let's have a great weekend. Thanks again to all of you guys for listening. Thanks to the Joes for having me on. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the final April edition and your NFL draft edition of the Free Stretch. Have a great weekend, and wherever you are, be safe, have fun, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.